But I want to pick up, I just have a real strong impression to continue these messages on no evidence. And I want to continue with this. Today's message title is called The Curse Removed. The Curse Removed. And still within this theme of no evidence. And if you didn't get those messages, I believe there should be some CDs out on the table. You can pick those up. And if you don't like CDs, then just download it off the website. But let's pray this morning and believe God to receive insight and truth in this and walk in it. You know, I've made a, you know, each year we should evaluate or we should examine ourselves. And as we go, not just each year, but periodically, we should examine ourselves to see where we are. Are we reaching those spiritual goals that we've set for ourselves? And as you go, a lot of times you'll make adjustments, I'll say. But I'll say this, you need to determine that you're going to get everything that God has paid the price for you to have. I don't care what, I mean, most of us in the natural would fight tooth and nail for a free dinner. I'm going to get me that. I don't care if I got to spend whatever. I'm going to get me whatever, something free. Or if you were owed something, you're going to fuss till you get it. Is that not true? No? You don't fuss for something? Okay. All right. But I can tell you, if it was something that meant something to you, you'd go after it, as they say, tooth and nail. And you'd go after it until you got it. And so to me, how much more in spiritual things, which have eternal value, which have substance. You know, when I say substance, I mean faith has substance. You know, natural things have substance, but so does faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's what gives you confidence and assurance. So those things that have eternal value, we ought to go after those like our life, not only just our life depended on it, but, well, it does. But we're going after that till we get it. Because that's what's going to make you a success. That's what's going to give you success in this earth. And so where does wisdom come from? Wisdom comes from the Word of God. So those things that we need to know, you know, just think about this, that Paul prayed in the book of Ephesians, his first chapter, he started praying to the church of Ephesus that they would have a spirit of wisdom and what? Revelation in the knowledge of Him. So God is saying in His Word, it's okay to ask for wisdom and what? Revelation or insight into the knowledge of Him. So many people say, well, I sure would like to know what God is thinking. Open the Bible and ask Him, what does it say in James? If any man lacks wisdom, let him moan and groan. It says, no, let him ask of God who giveth liberally and upbraideth not. But let him ask in what? Faith, nothing wavering. So that means when I need faith, when I need wisdom for something and I don't know how to solve something or deal with something, I'm going to ask God. I'm asking Him, Lord, what do I do here? I desire wisdom. to know how to rule, how to oversee my family. I need wisdom, how to navigate things in life. And so for us, that to me is paramount. You know, you all have to make decisions in life. You all have to buy something. You all have to do things. You have to make decisions. You may need to go to the doctor. The doctor gives you some diagnosis. And then next thing you know, we're like, oh God, what do I do? Well, if we're seeking his wisdom on a daily basis, he'll show you what to do. He'll let you know what to do. And you'll have what? Confidence and peace. Hallelujah. So I really, more than ever this year, I've determined I'm going to have increase of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And I'm not going to miss out on any of the blessings and benefits that are mine. So that God can do what? Use us all individually more. Use us more, be it to be a blessing to people. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, Father, we thank you this day. Thank you for your eternal word. Thank you that it's forever settled in heaven. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that we know you. You live in us. And we thank you that you speak to us and we hear you clearly. We thank you that we know you and see you, and you lead us into all truth. And we thank you. You're more real to us than this chair and this desk in front of me. You're real to me, and I thank you for it. Thank you for it, Father, in the name of Jesus. And I bless you and thank you. And this day, you've given us some instructions every day, but you've told us to pray for those who are in authority, that they would have the mind of Christ and the wisdom of God to rule with your mind. So, Father, we lift up the President of this United States and the Vice President. We lift up all of the elected and appointed officials. We lift up all of the justices in the Supreme Court and all of the representatives that are elected in the House of Representatives and Senate. We ask you, Father, that you give them wisdom to know how to rule. And give them insight so that we can live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. And Father, we lift up all of our men and women who are in law enforcement, all of our first responders. We ask that you keep them safe. And we ask that you show them every plot, every scheme that would be perpetrated to harm this country. We thank you, Father, that you're showing them where it is and how to put it out and correct it. And we thank you for it in the name of Jesus. And Father, this day we thank you that the Holy Spirit is leading us and showing us what to teach and opening our hearts to receive. And we thank you for it, and we decree that Jesus is Lord over this United States. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, when we talk about evidence, and I've shared this before, when we talk about evidence, evidence is a word that just means proof, that there's some proof of something that you're trying to substantiate or to prove. And it means, you know, sometimes it can mean a testimony, you know, that you're proving something through a testimony. And just like they do in a court of law, somebody gives testimony to do what? Prove something. And so when we look at this word, the Holy Spirit spoke in my heart about a month or so ago in a time of prayer, no evidence. It was big down here. I heard it. No evidence. He kept saying it. No evidence. And immediately I started thinking about you know, things that he's paid for, things that he's done for us, so that there's no evidence or trace of the curse in our lives. So those things have been paid for. Christ hath, he's already done it, hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. So many say, well, if that's so, why do we have all of these things going on? Why are these conditions in my body or in my life? Why are all these problems? It's certainly not God. Acts 10:38, how God did what? How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, who went about doing good. So when you see problems that don't represent good, it didn't come from God, who went about doing good and healing all those who were oppressed of the devil. Well, if someone's oppressed, that's not good. And it didn't come from God. John 10:10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I have come that you may have life and life more abundantly. So you can see in a number of scriptures a comparison between good and bad, evil and good. So God is good, and he expects us, or he desires us, to have his goodness and those things that he's paid for. So when we talk about no evidence, well, we shared in the first lesson, the minute you believed in Jesus and confessed with your mouth that he was raised from the dead, it says you shall be saved. Well, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, a new person. Old things have passed away, and all things have become new. No evidence. So there's no evidence of the old. It's been removed. So there are some things that this spirit was changed and became brand new. No evidence of sin in my spirit anymore. But this body is still mortal. But even though we can be subject to things that are going on in this earth, and sin can cause things or can cause this body to act a certain way or to break down, the scripture says in Romans 8:11 that the same spirit that raised what? Christ from the dead quickens or gives what? Life to my mortal body. So that means resurrection life. That same eternal life that came into my spirit resides in my spirit. So what does that mean? God is in me. Galatians 2:20, it's no longer I that liveth, but Christ who lives in me. So if he lives in me, then resurrection life lives in me. God lives in me. Then that means healing is in me. Healing is in me. So these qualities are in me. Well, how are they released? How is God released in me? How is healing released in me? How is wisdom released in me? It's in me. Faith. Faith activates that which is already in you. So God is in you. That means healing is in me already. You say, but I'm sure not feeling it. Faith in God activates that which is in you. Hallelujah. So let's take a look quickly. I'm going to get over there in a minute. But Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. You can look at it in the King James. But through Christ's substitution, he redeemed us from sin and sickness. You know, so often we talk about we've been redeemed from sin, which we have. But we need to make sure that we include that we've been redeemed from sickness and disease. And right here you can see in Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, the King James says, wherefore, as by one man, see, sin, talking about Adam, sin entered into the world. And what? Death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So when we talk about death, we're talking also, when you look that up, it's saying figuratively and spiritually. So, yeah, man didn't die immediately, but he died eventually. And spiritually he died. So the Passion Translation says, when, this is how this reads, when Adam sinned, the entire world was affected. Yeah. Sin entered human experience, and death was the result. And so death followed this sin, casting its shadow all over humanity, because all have sinned. So here it states that what? Death entered into this world, how? By sin. And really, if you think about it, sickness and disease can ultimately lead to death. Doesn't always, but it can. Really, sickness, if you look in the body, I'm sure they'll say, well, there's death of cells and other kinds of things going on. So it's really death. And so disease and sickness also entered into this earth realm by sin, and death was the result. So when you look at Deuteronomy 28, we're not going to turn over there now, but you look at the first 14 verses, talk about the blessings of the law, or the blessings of the covenant, and it talks about the curse of the law in verses 15 through the end of that chapter, chapter 28. And when it talks about what's the remedy, we know this, the remedy for the curse was the cross. So the remedy of the curse was the cross and Christ's substitution for us. So 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self, see, Christ, his own self, he did what? He bore our sins, what? In his own body on the tree or on the cross, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. So really, when you look at the New Testament, if you were to look at Isaiah 53, it would say, you shall be healed, I think it says. That's looking to the cross. This is looking back at the cross, where it says, you were healed. But I like the Amplified translation of 1 Peter 2:24. It says, he personally bore our sins, or you could put in my sins. He personally bore my sins in his own body on the tree as on an altar and offered himself on it, that we might die, and it says in parentheses, cease to exist, to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. So by his wounds, I was healed. So in God's viewpoint, there's no evidence right now in heaven of sin against you, and there's no evidence or no record of sickness against you. It's been paid for. So everything has been paid for. You know, just think about this. When Jesus went to the cross as our substitute, he went spirit, soul, and body so that he could redeem mankind spirit, soul, and body. So, you know, today, you know, when we look at these things, you know, because the world doesn't really recognize, maybe some do, but most that deal with people on a psychological level. Now, maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong. I know there's a few in here that deal in that profession. But in that profession per se, am I correct in saying they don't really deal with the spirit of a man? Is that true? Correct? They deal with the soul. They deal with the person's mind. And so, if you were to go over and look in Isaiah, and you look in there, when it talks about himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses, when it says in verse 4, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. And it says, but he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. In verses 4 and 5, when you look at that, it talks about mental anguish. So he bore our mental anguish. He bore all that. We don't have to bear that. So when worry tries to come upon you and anxiety and all of these things try to flood your mind, you go, no, he bought that. He paid for that. He took that to the cross, and I refuse to walk in anxiety. I refuse to walk in worry. It's been paid for. You would not for one minute take something into your spirit. You all of us stand up and say, oh no, I'm a brand new person in Christ. I've got a brand new spirit. But yet we're not as strong sometimes in that when we stand up in confidence and say, oh no, this sickness can't stay in my body. I'm redeemed from the curse of the law. You've got to go. You've got to leave. And I stand against it in the name of Jesus. Same thing with mental things that go on, mental anguish and worry and lack of peace. You go, no, no, that's been paid for. I refuse that. I resist it in the name of Jesus. That's why in Philippians it says, think on these things which are good and lovely and pleasant, and of a good report. He doesn't want us to worry, right? So Jesus was our substitute, spirit and soul and body, and redeemed us spirit, soul, and body. So everything that Adam lost has been restored through Christ. Christ desires us to walk as Adam walked in this earth. Does he not? Why did he redeem us? He redeemed us to get us back, to redeem us back, but to restore all that was lost. Yeah, we're not immortal like Adam, but we will be when Christ returns. This mortal will put on immortality. So, so Christ has redeemed us, Galatians 3:13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. Now, something I wrote down just so that we meditate on this for a moment. There was a divine exchange, right? What do I mean? He identified with us. He identified with us spirit, soul, and body. He took everything that was held against mankind. And we, in turn, identified with him. We took his righteousness. So, he took our sin and sickness. He became our substitute. And when we identified with Jesus, we took his righteousness. He became like us, and we in turn became what? Like him. It's no longer I that liveth. So when we look at Galatians, you say, well, where is that in Scripture? I'm going to read it right here. Galatians 3:13. Let's look at it. So when we say he became like us, this is what the Scripture says here. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. He became like us. He became cursed. He identified with us. Okay? For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. So Christ redeemed us. I like the Passion Translation. Listen to this. It says, Christ paid the full price to set us free from the curse of the law. Listen to this. He absorbed the curse completely as he became a curse in our place. So he absorbed the curse. So that means, when I read these other translations, that means there's not one trace of evidence of the curse that you should walk in or take. Because this says he absorbed all of the curse for you. It says he absorbed the curse completely as he became a curse in our place. So that means in this earth, I should not take any of the curse. It may try to come, but we can stand up and say, no, no, Jesus completely absorbed all of the curse for me. And I resist you in the name of Jesus. See, the devil knows it. And we must, what does faith do? Faith believes and therefore does what? Speaks. So you've got to speak what you believe. And that's why sometimes we go over these scriptures again and again so that it gets down where in your heart. So when things come in your life, you go, no, no. Every trace of the curse was absorbed by Jesus. And I identify with him. So therefore, there's no evidence in my body. Now, you may say, well, there is evidence. Well, now let's look at faith now. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. So if Jesus absorbed all of the curse, he absorbed all of the sin, all of the sickness for me, all of the pain, all of the misery, all of the worry, all of the anxiety, he absorbed it, then I can say by faith, there's no evidence in my life. I command it and decree it. There's no evidence because faith speaks. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. And faith is confident expectation of things that are in the Word of God promised to me. So we can say in faith things that we don't see but are promised. And you can decree, I say every trace or evidence of worry and anxiety is removed from me and cast into the sea. That's Mark 11:23. So I can say every trace or evidence of symptom of sickness in my body is removed and cast into the sea, and I doubt not, and I believe that the things that I say shall come to pass, I shall have whatsoever I saith. I'm saying things that I don't see, but have been paid for. So I can say there's no evidence of it. It's removed. Because why? He took it. He took it. He absorbed it. He took it for me. I'm identified with him. Oh, yeah. See, this goes not only for our health, but it goes for our prosperity. One of the things that God spoke to me 20-some years ago, when I was operating these principles in the area of healing, but it wasn't working in the area of finances. Why? Because I wasn't speaking it. I wasn't working it. And in a time of prayer, the Holy Ghost, he came right up, spoke to me and said, if you will work the word in the area of finances, like you're working the word in the area of healing, you won't have room enough to contain it all. So when we operate faith, and it's the evidence of things not seen, we can speak to issues that we face or lack. We can speak. What did the disciples say when Jesus said, seat them down, we're going to feed them? And they said, well, we ain't got enough food here. We only got a couple of fish and a few loaves of bread. He said, sit them down. And he did what? He blessed it and broke it and handed it out to the disciples. And they had leftovers. 12 baskets full. And I heard somebody recently, I think it was Rick Renner, say that those baskets, when they say baskets, he said those baskets were big enough. He said it's the same basket that they let, who did they let down? Was it Paul from the window? He said those baskets were big enough to put a body in. So when they had 12 baskets left over, these were big baskets. So when God blesses something, right, then we should walk in those blessings. But it's going to take faith to do that. Amen. So what are we saying? We're saying what this says here in Galatians 3:13. Christ paid the full price This is what it says in Galatians 3:13. He paid the full price to set us free from the curse of the law. He paid the full price to set us free. And then it goes on, it says, he absorbed the curse completely as he became a curse in our place. For it is written, everyone who was hung upon a tree is cursed. So that means every trace of the curse is removed and cast into the sea. And I'm looking for opportunities to sow and be a blessing and walk in the covenant blessings. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So let's turn over to Hebrews 11:1. Hebrews 11:1. I can tell we're chipping away here. Hebrews 11:1 in the King James, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So faith has substance. Spiritual substance. Faith has substance. What do we mean by substance? Substance can mean, you know, in the natural, it can mean the material that makes up something. Or when we say substance, it can mean the characteristic of something. You know, the quality of something. But faith is the substance of things hoped for. Here's a translation. This is called the Knox, K-N-O-X translation. It says, what is faith? It is that which gives substance to our hopes. Now, hope, in this case, is not desire. Because desire is not something that you expect. Desire is, I hope something comes to pass. You've got to have faith gives substance to that which you expect. So when it talks about hope, if you just look up this word in the Greek, it says expectation. So that which you expect, the foundation of that is faith. When you have confidence, you're expecting something to come to pass. You're not hoping it comes to pass. You know it's coming to pass. You're expecting it. You're looking for it. So that's when we talk about faith. In the Amplified, it says, now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see, the conviction of their reality. So when we look at a title deed, anybody who owns a home or you own a car or you own something, you may have a title to it. That title represents ownership of something. And that's all the proof you need. You know, if you lived in a house and somebody came and knocked on the door and said, prove you own it, you would pull out a deed or something that would prove that you own it, not the physical house. When you go to sell a car or you go to do something, you do what? You transfer the title to someone else. So what are we saying? Faith is the only evidence. It's like a title deed. It proves that I expect something to come to pass. It says it's the evidence of something not seen. So my faith, that which I believe and speak, is the evidence of something I expect to come to pass. That's why when people say, when you see people say, you just lay hands on me and I'll get, I will receive my healing. That's their evidence that they're going to receive of something they haven't gotten yet. Right? Because when God says, by his stripes ye were healed, and you say, I believe that. And then maybe somebody is laying hands upon the sick, and you say, you just lay hands on me and I will receive, because that's one way through the laying on of hands. There's other ways to receive healing. So that's why it's so important that we operate in faith and never give up or let loose of our faith, because it's the evidence of something not seen. And the minute you lose hope or you lose your expectation to receive, you let go of faith. Because faith is the substance. It's the evidence, it's the title deed, it's the confidence or assurance of something I expect to get. So if you expect to be blessed, if you expect to receive that which you sow when you bring your tithe into the offering, it's not just taking that, plunking it into the bucket and say, praise God, I brought my tithe in. No, that's part of it. But it is saying, he which soweth bountifully shall receive bountifully. You've got to believe that when I sowed, it's going to come back to me. And my faith is the substance of what I expect. So I expect to be blessed. Why? Because I've sown. And that has to be acted on. That's got to be spoken. And we have to do that in faith. So faith, all of that, you know, when we talk about faith operating, I'll just share this. Think about Jesus' ministry. Galatians 5, 6, it says, faith worketh, how? By love. When you look at Jesus' ministry all through the Gospels, when he went to lay hands on the sick or to cast out demons, or when he ministered to people, almost every time, it says he was moved with what? Compassion. So, you know, think about this for a moment, and it's got me to thinking. I heard a minister say this. We were at the prayer conference in Connecticut. It would do you good to go and listen to those messages from Grace Church, Grace Family Church in Newtown, Connecticut. You could just listen to them, watch them, or download them, or listen. But he made a statement, Reverend Jim Hockaday, he made a statement, and he was talking about the compassion of Jesus. He said, that's why it's important what you watch. Because he said, every time you watch something, he said, we become jaded. And it affects us in our compassion towards people. So he said, when you start and you watch all of these things on TV and you're watching all of these things, you're watching the news, this world doesn't have a lot of compassion for people. Because if they can step over rows and rows and tents of people living on the street like they're nothing, then there's a lack of compassion. And so he said, we need to watch what we watch because it affects us in a way where it affects the compassion of God in us. We become more jaded. And Jesus was moved with compassion, and then he operated because faith worketh by love. And no love, it begins to affect you operating in faith. So this divine exchange, let's just quickly turn over to Colossians 2. I want to look at this. I'll read this. You can follow along. I'm going to read in Colossians chapter 2. In verses 9 through 14, I'm just going to read this quickly from the Passion Translation. And if you can, if you have that, fine, or look at it online, or you, or just listen or follow along in whatever translation you have. So this is the Passion Translation, verse 9 of chapter 2 of Colossians. It says, "For he is the complete fullness of deity living in human form." Who is this? He's talking about Jesus. "And our own completeness is now found in him." This is divine exchange. Our completeness is found in him. "We are completely filled with God as Christ's fullness overflows within us. He is the head of every kingdom and authority in the universe. Through our union with him, we have experienced circumcision of heart. All of the guilt and power of sin has been cut away and is now extinct because of what Christ the Anointed One has accomplished for us. For we've been buried with him into his death. Our baptism into death also means we were raised with him when we believed in God's resurrection power, the power that raised him from death's realm. This realm of death describes our former state, for we were held in sin's grasp. But now we've been resurrected out of that realm of death, never to return. For we are forever alive and forgiven of all our sins." And I would say, you're healed of all your sicknesses. Verse 14, "He canceled out every legal violation we had on our record and the old arrest warrant that stood to indict us. He erased it all, our sins, our stained soul. He deleted it all, and they cannot be retrieved." He can't retrieve them. He can't find them. There's what? No evidence. There's no evidence of sin against you. There's no evidence of sickness against you. "By his stripes, ye were healed." And it goes on, "Everything we once were in Adam has been placed onto his cross and nailed permanently there as a public display of cancellation." So he took the evidence against us and paid the price as our substitute, and it was permanently paid for and what? Removed. Removed. "And because of our union with him, we became like him, righteous, whole, healed." And we're to walk in that. Now, does it mean we're going to live forever here? No. If Jesus tarries, then we'll leave this body, but we don't have to leave sick and diseased and broken down. We don't have to. It's been paid for. Sin and sickness has been paid for. That's why it's so important, I believe, to look to the Holy Spirit within us, if his fullness fills us, and he says, my sheep know my voice, and another voice they won't follow, then that means I need to be more aware of him, his presence, his voice, so that he can guide me into all truth. He can show me how to live. This world is so corrupted, and man is corrupted with his thinking, but he redeemed our spirits, our souls. He redeemed us, and he redeemed us from sickness and disease, even though we live in this body that has sin in it. But the scripture says what? He quickens this mortal body with his life. If he can quicken this mortal body, that means he's quickening my mind so I can think quick, think sharp. Don't talk words of, I'm getting older, you know, my mind just ain't working. Not, my mind is bright and quick and sharp. Don't talk death-filled words. The world talks that way. We don't have to. If you do what? You believe and speak. What do we believe? With the evidence. The evidence, he took all the evidence that was against us. So right now, our slate is clean. There's no evidence against us. So we don't need to talk death and sickness and lack. We talk prosperity. We talk love. We talk peace. We talk wholeness, health. You know, so often I hear people say, well, I can't make it here. Well, then I'll guarantee you, if you talk like that, wherever you live, you won't make it, because you'll talk the same trash. You'll talk defeat wherever you live. You've got to have your mind renewed that I overcome. Now, he may lead you to go move somewhere else, but you better know it's God leading you to move, not just because you say, well, I can't live here anymore. Because God can supernaturally open doors of blessing for you, because you're letting life and worldly pressures move you. What does the scripture say? We walk by faith and not by what we see. I'm telling you, God is looking for a people that will walk in all the blessings that he's provided. And we can have it. And I'm determined to get them and walk in them. And I know you are too. Glory to God. Let's say that again. Faith is the substance of things hoped for or expected, and it's the evidence of things not seen. So everything that you're believing him for, where it says we walk by faith and not by sight, then that means it's going to take that evidence to get the things not seen. So the things that he's paid for, the things that are available to us, not seen, can be taken by faith. Now, some things you may have to, you know, it may take a little effort, a little time. But don't give up. Don't let go. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, we can have it. God can supernaturally open doors that no man can open. He can do things that you'll just sit there, scratch your head and say, how did that happen? Glory to God. Hallelujah. And actually, if you want to know, this little booklet right here, How to Write Your Own Ticket with God, this is something here. I'll just read a little excerpt here. This is Kenneth E. Hagin on page 5. He said this was something when Jesus appeared to him. He said, Jesus said to him, write down 1, 2, 3, 4. And with my eyes shut, I wrote down 1, 2, 3, 4. This is what he said. He said, Jesus said to him, if anybody anywhere will take these 4 steps and put these 4 principles into operation, he will always receive whatever he wants from me or from God the Father. That if you'll do that, that was from the head of the church. If you'll do these 4 things, hey, I'm smart enough to believe. Amen. Glory to God. Praise God. You know, I was thinking about, I'll just share this little brief testimony that someone gave at the prayer conference. He shared it publicly, shared it in 2 places, actually. He shared it in Connecticut at that prayer conference. And he also shared it that Sunday night on March 28th. We were at a church in Westchester near White Plains, and he shared it again. He had had a brand, this is a Pastor Doug Mitchell, has a church, Westchester Family Church in Mount Kisco. And he had had, about 8 years ago, he had had a brain aneurysm. And they didn't really expect him to live. And he was in pretty bad shape. So everybody was praying for him, and he came through. He had a brain bleed. And they call it, I guess they call it an brain aneurysm. So he came through, and he was blind for a while in one eye. And part of it, his vision was gone. And the doctors, the neurologist said, well, that's normal. You'll get some of it back. And he said, he immediately said, I'm going to get it all back. That's what he said to the doctor. And the doctor kept saying, yeah, but you'll get some back. He said, I'm going to get it all back. And he kept saying that. He kept saying what he wanted. The evidence is the things not seen. Your faith is the evidence. He didn't fight with the doctor. He just said, well, thank you, but I'm getting it all back. And the doctor, periodically he'd go back, and the doctor's looking at his x-ray, said, your vision's getting better. He said, I'm telling you, I'm getting it all back. And he said it would get progressively better and better and better and better and better and better. And he kept saying to the doctor, I'm going to get my vision back, all of it. And it got to the place where he could drive. And he said, even this neurologist said, you know, we're studying these things. You know, could you go to this other? They're studying this kind of stuff. So anyways, he said, he was very diligent with his confession. But then he said, you know, life inserted itself, and he said he got a little lazy with his confession. And he said the leftover residual was just in one eye, the periphery. He said if you looked up at the top of his rim of his glasses, he couldn't see above here and off to the side, just to the periphery here. He said he couldn't really see somebody over here, or the side of your rim of your glass. He couldn't see somebody here. And he said he had kind of slacked off on his confession. So now 8 years forward, we're in this prayer conference, and we're all worshiping. And he said twice on Wednesday night, he said he felt like electricity hit the back of his head. He said he just felt like electric. Twice. He didn't think anything of it. He just said, hmm. And he felt it twice. This is in a time of worship. And then he said he was standing next to the pastor that we went to his church in near White Plains, Pastor Jack, and he's standing next to him. Now, Jack used to play a professional ball. He's a little taller than Pastor Greg. He went with the Mets for a little bit. So he was a professional ball player, kind of tall. And he said, Pastor Doug's standing there, and he said, I can see him. I can see Jack. And he's standing there, and he said, I can see him over here. And then he said, ooh. And then he realized he was healed of that little periphery. But he shared that, you know, and then he shared it again Sunday night, that he could see fully. But he began to say, I decreed I'm getting my vision. I'm getting all my vision back. See, doctors can say what they say. I just don't have to believe what they say. I believe what I say. Because whosoever shall say unto this mountain, this obstacle, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe the things that they say shall come to pass, you'll have whatsoever you say. So he wasn't fighting with the doctor. He just didn't believe what the doctor was saying. Not that the doctor, he probably was factually right in all of the facts. You know, this is the best you're going to do. He just didn't get an agreement with it. He said, well, thank you, doctor. I'm getting it all back. And he did get it all back. Now, he said he slacked off, but God is merciful, isn't he? And he was honoring those words. He didn't get into doubt and unbelief. He just slacked off on his confession, but God honored it. And so we need to, whatever, this is 8 years now, it is whatever it is. Oh man, I'm going to have it. I'm going to get it. We're not fighting with doctors. We're not saying they're wrong. But we serve a God who identified with our sin and our sickness, and he took every trace of sin and sickness and freed us from the curse. So we don't have to walk in it. We don't have to accept it. Amen. Glory to God. God is good. I hope this stirs your heart like it does mine, because I'm going to walk in the blessings of God. I'm going to walk. It can mean other things. It can mean I'm going to walk in the fullness of his anointing to be a blessing to people and walk in his fullness. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory to God. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that it's life to us and health to all our flesh. Thank you that the entrance of your word brings revelation and understanding in your word. And thank you, Father, for your word lifting our spirits and stirring our hearts to walk in faith and walk in the promises of God, and to walk in all that you've purchased. And we thank you for it. And we thank you, Father, that greater is he. Greater are you that are in us than that the devil who's in the world. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God, praise God. Amen, amen.